does, I will do it. If it happens to be a Father's Day, a Mother's Day, or whatever the case may be. I don't think you can really preach an Independence Day message because we're not supposed to be independent. We're supposed to be dependent. Amen. I don't think I've ever heard anybody preach one of those. If so, I'd be curious as to how they could turn that out and make that biblical. But I do want to say this, that fathers are a blessing from God, and certainly mothers as well. But it's important for us to realize this morning, the significance of fathers. In fact, some of the statistics that I mentioned when we did the marriage ceremony celebration, Covenant Sunday that we did, some of the statistics are just absolutely amazing. If children had both parents, you know, and this is even, I mean, certainly parents aren't perfect, but even with parents that are a little bit messed up, even statistically shows that if the children have both parents in the home, that they turn out better. There's less suicide. There's less poverty. They're more prone to go to college. They're less prone to be criminals, to get into drug activity and alcohol. I mean, statistics are absolutely amazing. So certainly there's a lot of fathers and mothers out there that are not doing the job that they should. None of us ever really reach the potential that I think God wants us to. It's because it's a work in progress. You kind of learn as you go. But at the same time, it's important for us because we see the media has just slaughtered fathers. I mean, I don't think you'd ever see a show today entitled Father Knows Best. I think you'd probably see Father Knows Nothing might be a hit comedy, or The Cosby Show. I mean, that was a little while back. That was not quite as far back as Father Knows Best. But I mean, some of the things, I mean, they were great parental shows, and they showed the father and the mother. They're actively involved in the lives of the children. And now it's absolutely insane. They're torn apart. The kids on these shows, they just rip their, and not just the fathers, they do it to the mothers too, but they mainly target the fathers. And it's a ploy of the devil to try to destroy the family because God instituted the family. And there was even a book that some liberal, I'll just stop there, lady, some liberal lady or some liberal woman, I'm not going to call her a lady, some liberal woman wrote a book, Are Men Necessary? I'm like, come on. I mean, what's the matter? I mean, could you imagine if a guy wrote a book, Are Women Necessary? He'd be probably locked up in jail for the rest of his life. I mean, it's just, but that's the kind of thing that's happening. So I encourage you to be aware to what's happening and be careful. I mean, children, we were all children. We know how it is as teenagers and that rebellious little stage they kind of go through. And my parents don't know anything, you know, and they're this and they're that. They don't know what they're talking about. And then later you wind up, as you become adults, you say the same things your parents did. You do the exact same things. Oftentimes you're like, oh my goodness, I've turned into my father. You know, and you see that. And so you realize that not everything they said was wrong. And so I encourage you as parents, you know, be aware of some of these shows. You know, certainly thank God they have begun to bring a few good movies out. And there's a few shows here and there that's not so bad to watch. But we need to be careful because as those things are instilled in our children, I mean, they're already going to get it just from the fact that they're teenagers. But they get it more from these shows. They begin to realize that's acceptable behavior. So just a little side note for you this morning to focus and to be aware of things that are happening within your family and again, doing all you can to train them and to shelter and protect them as much as you can from the things that are in the world. You know, some folks just want to let their kids kind of do whatever and experience the world. Let me tell you something. It's a dangerous thing because it only takes one time for them to experience the wrong thing. And next thing you know, they're either dead or they're in prison. You want to shelter your children as much as you absolutely can. Protect them and keep them from the things. The Bible is very clear. If we train up our children the way in which they're to go when they're old, it says they will not depart from it. I don't want my children departing from the ways of God and then me having sleepless nights praying and fasting for them to come back. You know, God can certainly do that, and there's great testimonies, and some of you are praying for that right now, and maybe you've made mistakes, and sometimes maybe you didn't make that mistake. Maybe you was a great father or a great mother, and yet your children, because of their own personal choices, made bad decisions. Don't you let that guilt and shame be upon you for bad choices that they made, even mistakes you've made. You know, if it's under the blood, it's under the blood. Now pray and believe God for a miracle to turn their life around, because certainly he can. Just like the prodigal son, we all know the story. He went away, but he came back because he realized it was a good place to be at home. There's no place like home. Like, who's that girl clicking her heels? There's no place like home. You know, Wizard of Oz. I don't even like that story. It gave me nightmares when I watched it as a kid. But there's no place like home. There's something to be said. There is no place like home. You know, think about how much you love going on vacations and traveling and all that stuff. But when you get back home, it's like, wow. And every time I think we walk in our house with my wife and I, I love my house. I love my bed. You know, there's nothing like sleeping in your own bed. Well, kids, they may not say it, but I guarantee you, they love the safety of their home. They love that, you know, if it's a home that's you know, at least even somewhat in order, they appreciate it. They may not say it, but they thank God for it. So, again, as parents, let's do our job as fathers and don't let other people tear down the values that we know are right. Because the world wants to try to rewrite the way that the family is to be set up. We've got, you know, God didn't create Adam and Steve. He created Adam and Eve. And unfortunately, we've got men and women raising children today in America. And it's a, when I even think about it, it gives me chills to wonder, like, God, you know, how much longer are you not going to just come down and just, you know, annihilate America and for the things that are doing and the abortion? And I saw on the news the other day about there's this guy, he's got some nickname, I got with his Killer Miller, I don't know what his name is, but he's an abortion doctor, and he's just it's already been outlawed by the Supreme Court that partial birth abortion is, you know, has been banned and it's been approved, and this guy is just killing babies. He's advertising a site, he'll for anybody $5,000. And he's just slaughtering these babies left and right. And they're trying to get him to stop, but they have some law in the state of Kansas that somewhat protects him. The governor vetoed it and all this other mess, but I'm not going to get into all that. But it just the point is, again, this morning, I wanted to encourage you that life is important. And as parents, it is ultimately our responsibility. Don't put it off on the schools. Don't put it off on the media. Don't put it off on rap music and all this other, you know, rock music, satanic rock, all that stuff. Don't blame all of that. Certainly, they should. That kind of stuff shouldn't be happening. But ultimately, it is the parents' responsibility to protect and to shelter their kids. Be aware, you know, all these iPods. I'm meddling this morning, but it relates. We're talking about a vessel of honor. Meddling this morning, but all these iPods. Nothing wrong with kids having. My kids have the iPods too. But I told them if I ever hear one song on that iPod that is not Christian, that's you know, some profanity or some other thing, it's gone. I don't care how old you are. It's out. You lose it. You know, don't just assume that they're listening to Christian music, Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. You better make sure that what they're listening to and examine it. You know, check that stuff out. Search their computer. Search their room. The kids are like, oh, stop telling them to do that, you know. They're all like, don't tell them to do that. But be aware, amen. Be actively involved and protect your children, amen. Let's turn to Psalm chapter 24 real quick. We're talking about, again, being a vessel of honor. And as we just said, it's our job as parents to help shape our children to become a vessel of honor. It's our job as parents to raise them up to be men and women of God. When they become of age, they have their own personal choices that God will hold them accountable for. But in the meantime, it's our job. And it's also our job to help ourselves as well, to do all that we can. Psalm 24, 3 and 4. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, and who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul into vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. And we talked about this week before last. Just want to highlight real quickly to you the importance of, as Christians, to honor God in everything that we do. And again, the great thing again about coming to the house of the Lord, it's not so much about trying to always get right outside of the church. How many times have you witnessed to someone and you tell them, you know, that you tell them about that God loves them, invite them to church, and they'll look at you and they'll say that, well, I've got a lot of problems right now. I need to get rid of a few things and stop this and change a few habits. They're never going to change. Tell them to come as you are. You know what? Who cares? I don't care what your problem is. I don't care what your sin is. Just come as you are. You know, we get clean in the house. You know, we can get sanctified. That's why the sacrifice is there, the burnt offering, to honor God and to burn away those impurities, to let God basically know. To accept us, to say, look, I accept you as you are. We bring the sacrifice, and it becomes a holy offering unto the Lord. The laver is there so we can be washed and we can be cleansed so that we can be made worthy to go into the Holy of Holies, to His very presence, and experience the presence, the glory, and the power of God. So we need to encourage people to come as you are. You don't have to get right first. But it's important as Christians that we realize there is a standard, that we cannot just come in the church and live any way we want to live and do anything we want to do, watch anything we want to watch, listen to anything, say anything, and do anything. We have to live right. It's a message that's not preached very often in the church anymore about living a holy, righteous life before God. I want the Lord to tell me that enter thou into the joy of the Lord, thy good and faithful servant. I don't want to hear those words, depart from me, you that work iniquity, for I never knew you. And again, as we stressed over and over again, that word know is an intimate word. It's not, I know who you are, Lord. I know who the church is. I've been in church. I've clapped a few times, raised my hands, and said amen to the message. It's an intimate relationship. Do you know him personally and intimate? Not just know about him, because the devils believe and they tremble. But do we have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Are we striving to become a vessel of honor? An individual that can be used to bring glory and honor to his name? Is it an all about me message, or is it an all about him? Because today it's hard to discern. You listen to some preachers like, "Who are you preaching about, me or is it about Jesus? You know, who is the real, the focus at?" And we need to start getting it off of us and self and start putting it upon Jesus Christ. Because it's about preaching Christ and Him crucified that's going to change us. We don't want to hear the message of the cross, because Jesus made it clear, take up your cross and follow me. If you really want to be a disciple, if you really want to learn, if you really want to know, we have to take up our cross and follow him. So how are we going to become a vessel of honor? Well, let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 18. It comes through a word that most of us hate. Submission. Now, submission can come two ways. You know, those of you that have studied martial arts a little bit, or any kind of self-defense moves, when somebody starts attacking you or getting out of control, you can bring them into submission through force. And amazingly, it just surprises me that some people actually like that. I'm not talking about like, you know, being put in a chokehold, or I'm talking about in terms of Christianity. I mean, I've seen some individuals like, my Lord, I could never be under that person, that pastor, that ministry, because there's this lording over. You're going to do it. I don't care. You know, it's just this forceful thing. You notice how many people really like that. I mean, surprisingly. I mean, they really do. It's like the Israelites wanting a king. Who in the world would want a king when you have God? Because God's mercies are new every morning. The king's mercies are dependent on how he feels that day. But you see, we need to realize this morning, we need to submit to God willingly, because here's one thing for sure. While you are alive on this earth, he will never force you into submission. He will never twist your arm and make you do anything. He will let you live your life any way you want to. You can play church. You can try to do all the things you want to do. He will let you do it to your detriment if you so choose. But it is very clear, when you leave this earth, he will bring you and force you into submission, even if you don't even know him. Because the Bible says that when you stand before him, every knee, not just the born-again believers, the Christians are going to willingly throw themselves at the feet of Christ. Any crowns they get is going to be thrown at the Lord's feet. They're going to willingly and submissively bow before him and worship him and adore him because they love him. But the devil and every person that's in hell right now and every person that's alive right now that does not accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior will stand before him and will be brought into absolute submission. They will kneel their knee before him and they will say that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. I don't want anybody to be at that place. I don't want to see anybody brought into that place. I want them to willingly submit. So here again is the key to becoming a vessel of honor, because Jesus Christ is not going to force you. He wants you to willingly submit and put yourself in his hands. As Romans 12:1 says, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. Bringing yourself, everything you've got, all your mess, all your blemishes, all your shortcomings, all the positive things, the good, the bad, and the ugly, bring it all to him and put it on the altar and say, Lord, here I am. Take this fire and burn off all the impurities. And take the fire at the same time and make everything that's pure and holy that's within me, God. Make it shine and make it come forth that I can be a vessel of honor. Let's read this here in Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 1 through 6. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. So God, I love how God just uses the natural things, things that we know and understand, to relate a spiritual message to us. He tells Jeremiah, I have a prophecy that I want you to give to Israel, and I'm going to impart it to you through a vision, not a spiritual vision, but through a natural vision, through your natural eyes. I want you to go down to the potter's house, and I want you to look in there and discern what it is you're seeing, and then I want you to proclaim that message and prophesy it over Israel. And he goes down and he sees the clay that's on the wheel, and as the potter is shaping it, he notices that it is marred. In other words, it's not working right. It's not coming out to be the kind of vessel that the potter has intended, and it's being shaped. And so he smashes it and he begins to work it all over again. It's very important to make sure that you understand the clay is marred not because the potter made the mistake. The clay is marred because the clay has some things within it that need to be beaten out or shaped out or worked out. If you've ever worked with clay, I think most of us have at least some time or another. Clay, if you see people working with, they take it and they squeeze it and they take it and they slam it on the table and they're smashing it on the table and they beat it and they pound it and they put water on it. And the reason is they're trying to get all the air out of it. See, a lot of Christians got a lot of air inside of us. God's trying to get it all out. Because when the air is in there, it creates bubbles and it will mar and destroy the vessel. And another thing is we get grit and dirt can get in it. And so it has to be clean. It has to be washed and smooth. And so there's many of us that we're marred. In fact, all of us are to an extent, but we've all, before Christ, we were a mess. We needed to be beaten and worked out. And I don't mean beaten in terms of the sense of a person beating another person. I'm talking about all of the mess in our life needed to be worked out. We needed to get out all the kinks and all the creases and all the air bubbles and all the dirt and everything that's in us. God just begins to take us. But you have to submit. He's not going to force you. He's not going to take you and put you on that potter's wheel. You have to say, Lord, I am the clay. And you are the potter. Shape me, just like that song we sing a couple of weeks. Take me, Lord. Mold me. Use me and fill me, oh God. We pray oftentimes, God, just fill me with your glory. Well, how can he fill you if you've not submitted to the potter's hand? Because regular clay can't be filled. It has to be created into some kind of vessel. So what happens to oftentimes we come in and we're marred and we've all been through some very difficult and trying and hurtful times. But God takes us and he gets all of the mess out. He gets all of that air out and all of the impurities and everything else. He washes us and shapes us and gets us into just this little blob of clay that now he can work with. Now he can work with. Think about where you were a few 10 years ago, maybe even as much as last week. You know, maybe something significant happened last week, and now you're like, man, I'm a whole lot better than I am. Because there's one thing for sure. If you're saved this morning, you're a whole lot closer to heaven today than you were even yesterday. So we've got to realize that we're on this potter's wheel, and the potter can make the vessel how he wants it to be. It's very important. You know, some folks that just, they don't have giftings in certain areas. Everybody has some kind of gift. God has not left you giftless this morning. If you're thinking, I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't. You're thinking, you're going through all this, listening to your head, I can't do any of these things. You know, how can God use me? You have a gift. You just have to know what it is. And I want to just encourage you this morning. It doesn't have to be singing. It doesn't have to be playing. It does not have to be teaching or preaching or any of those things. Thank God that we've got born again Christians building houses today. Thank God. You know, there may not be very many, but there's a few born again lawyers out there. You know, and you usually can tell the Christian ones right away. But thank God that there's born again men and women serving in our military. Thank God that there's at least maybe a few, one or two, however how many, serving in Congress. Thank God that there are people and that your work, that the giftings that God has placed in you is your ministry. That's where God has given you the pulpit. You know, if we were all in here today, if every one of us had the ability to play and sing and teach, you know, what good would that do? We couldn't really help anybody. Somebody needs to be able to be out in a workplace that has some gifts that can touch the lives of people so that someone can say, wow, look at that beautiful house you built. And they can wonder, it's like, man, where'd you learn how to do that? Well, I had some training here and there, but it's just, you know, I was just always good at it. Just, it's a gift that God gave me. And you can tell them that I put my heart into it because, you know, it's God's work. You know, he is my boss. He is the one that has given me these things. You know, think about the gifts that God has given you and don't come up and say, Lord, I want you to give me this gift. I'm not talking about the gifts of the Spirit. The Bible is very clear. Covet earnestly the best gifts. I'm talking about your natural abilities. You know, some of you have had abilities and you're wondering, why do I have this ability? I can just do this, you know, with my eyes closed. Maybe God wants you to use that for his glory. You can touch as many people in the workplace as someone in the house of God can reach through preaching the word of God. You've got to realize that God is using your gifts and your abilities for his glory. But we have to be a vessel of honor because people are watching us. The word says that you are living epistles read openly before all men. Are we allowing ourselves to be a living epistle? You know, the book of Acts is still being written. It's the Acts. It says the Acts of the apostles, but in reality, it's really the Acts of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit working in the lives of the apostles, working in my life and your life today. What is being written that could be tagged on the end of the book of Acts as it relates to your life? Are you bringing glory and honor to God? Are you allowing yourself to be on that potter's wheel? Are you allowing yourself to be shaped and molded? You know, the thing that I love about watching people make pottery is it's such a smooth process. I mean, they put that water on there and their hand is just gliding. And next thing you know, they push a little pressure and that thing starts to come up and they put their hand in it. And it just looks so smooth. You know, it's unlike if you ever saw somebody whittle something or shape something with wood. I mean, they're hacking it and they're whacking on that thing and all. I mean, the process prior to getting on the wheel is not very pretty. They're slapping it and beating it. But once you get on a wheel, it's pretty, like, man, it's nice and smooth. See, that's just God just loving us. It's just God saying, kind of like a father, just saying, it's going to be all right. I'm going to shape you and mold you. And I know you had a few mars here and there. It didn't look good from the start, but I'm going to shape you and mold you. And again, I can't stress enough this morning as parents. That's our job. You know, children, when they're born with a personality. But that personality is shaped by the parents. And we can enhance that personality and bring out the strengths in that, or we can bring out their weaknesses. It's up to us to love them and to nurture them and to shape and mold them and sometimes discipline them when it needs be but to do it with love. Do it with a father's heart. And that's what God does to us. And that's why I love this story of the potter's wheel, because God is not there just, you know, like he's whittling and whacking and cutting. He's just lovingly putting his hands around us, shaping us and molding us with the washing of the water of the word. And so let's look at another scripture here, Isaiah chapter 64. And so again, I want to encourage you this morning to submit to what God has called you. And I want to say this to you as well. God is never going to call you to do something that he has not gifted you and anointed you to do. And neither is he going to call you to do something that you absolutely hate. You hear that? It's very important. I want you to understand that. God's not going to call you. I mean, if you think about something that you just would hate to do. I mean, if you think about, man, I would just hate to teach. I could never be in front of people. I love listening to teaching, but I just hate it. I could never, don't want to do it, don't like it, don't like studying all this stuff and digging up and researching. If that's not you, God's not going to call you. And if he does call you, guess what's going to happen? He's going to shape you and mold you. The next thing you know, it's like, wow, I think I'd like to teach. So don't think that God is up there waiting. He's going to force you to do something like, the worst thing. You know, I used to hear people all the time. I think I probably said it a few times. Lord, I'll do anything but go to Africa, go to South America, go to China, go to Russia. I'll go anywhere but this place. Or I'll preach to any people except for this people or this group. Or I'll go anywhere except for this place. And we're thinking that, people's like, oh, don't say that. Don't say that you don't want to go to Africa, because sure enough, as soon as you say that, that's where God's going to send you. It's a myth. God's not going to send you somewhere you just absolutely do not want to go. He's going to put a love in your heart. You might look at a group of people, and certainly as Christians, we have to love everybody. But you might look at some place and, out in the jungles of South America and say, man, I could never go there. I don't like hanging around those people that eat spiders and monkeys and, all this kind of stuff. I just couldn't take it. But if God has called you to them, all of a sudden, he'll put it in your heart. Next thing you know, it's like, man, you'll be watching National Geographic. It's like, man, those people are really neat. I'd like to learn some more about that culture. All of a sudden, there's this love that begins to be stirred in your heart. Next thing you know, you're just thinking about that group of people all the time, and you're praying for them. And God begins to work, and next thing you know, there you are, out there in the jungle somewhere in South Africa, South America or Africa, wherever, and just preaching the gospel of Christ, loving people, telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ. So don't be afraid this morning to tell God what's in your heart, because he put it in your heart. He put those desires. But you've got to know who you are. Again, you've got to know your limitations. You have to know your place in the body of Christ. Not everybody's the mouth. Not everybody's the eye. Some people are the foot. Some people the big toe. Some people the hand. Know your place and take joy and honor it. I think one of the reasons why so many Christians today do not get excited about the place they have in the body of Christ is because preachers have lifted up the fivefold ministry and put it so far above every other ministry. Shame on them, because the purpose of the fivefold ministry is to lift up the body of Christ. They don't even preach the rest of that message for the perfecting of the saints. And so we get into this thing, and this is not original with me. You probably heard me say it from time to time. I saw another preacher preach on this about serving and about leading people. And the world, if you ever go into any kind of secular seminars, you'll see the pyramid. We've all heard about the pyramid, all these sales and everything else. Talk about this sales pyramid. Everything goes up and, all the money comes on the bottom, flows up to you with these Amway products and everything else. And that's how the world creates the secular mindset, is we're all on the bottom, a bunch of nobodies struggling to be number one, on the top. But yet, in leadership, in Christianity, it is an inverted pyramid. What did Christ do? Come on, he's sitting at the right hand of God the Father. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He comes to the earth and says, I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve. He knelt and washed the disciples' feet. He said, you want to be first, you're going to be the last, because the last will be first. Don't take the high seat, because nobody put you in his low seat. Go into the place and seek the low seat. Seek to be at the bottom. You want to be great in God's kingdom? Come on, you won't hear this in the world. You won't hear this in a secular seminar. You want to be great in God's kingdom? You need to seek to be the last. Take the low seat. Seek to be the highest servant. Not just a servant, but desire to be the best servant. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he'll lift you up. Come on, we can go on and on. It's an inverted pyramid. God is saying, look, you are here lifting up the people. That's the purpose of the fivefold ministry, for the perfecting of the saints, so that they can do the work of the ministry. You know, people get saved in church. Certainly they, especially revival meetings and different things like that. But most people get saved, or at least hear the message, outside the church. I mean, think about how many saved people want to come to church. They just don't want to. When, before you're saved, how many times you wake up and say, I think I'm going to go to church today. Man, I heard this church is just, lively, and I just have this great. They don't want to do it unless somebody invites them. So it's, how are they going to hear unless somebody preaches? But how is somebody going to preach unless they were sent? Well, who sends them? The fivefold for ultimately is God, yes. But then it filters down to the fivefold ministry of telling people that it's okay for you to pray for somebody. It's okay for you to tell somebody about Christ. You don't need, if somebody in this church is in the hospital, and I've heard pastors do this, shame on them. Tell people in the church, you know, you can't go visit people in the hospital. And that's my job. Lord, help them. You don't need my permission to visit somebody in the hospital. You do not need my permission to witness to somebody. You don't need my permission to pray for somebody. You don't even need to ask me how to pray for somebody. If you don't know how, just do it. Just open your mouth, start. You know how to talk, right? That's all prayer is anyway. Just be real. Be honest. God will hear your prayer. So we have decommissioned the body of Christ as the ministers of God. Shame on the fivefold ministry for decommissioning the body of Christ, saying you're not qualified. You're not able. You don't have that desire. In fact, while I'm thinking about it, I forgot an announcement. Some of you don't know her, but Melissa Howard comes every Wednesday night. She works on Sundays, and the Lord put her in her heart. She wants to go out and do some door-to-door on, I think it was Saturday, the last Saturday in this month, Saturday, June 30th, for about 11 o'clock. So if there's anyone interested in going with her, she certainly can't go by herself, that would like to go, maybe spend an hour or so, please let me know after the service. God put that on her heart, and I think it's a great thing. I know people are busy, summertime's here, but if you have an opportunity would like to do so, let me know. And, you know, I told her, so like, praise God, man, you got a heart to do that. And she is. She's a little evangelist, and she's very, very bold and not afraid to speak her mind. It's okay, keep it down just a little bit. But just let the Holy Spirit lead you, amen, and guide you. And we need people. You know, sometimes we're afraid, and, you know, and be honest, sometimes I get like that. We're human. You're like, I don't know what that person's going to say. You know, what if somebody says, oh, my God, they said something crazy. They come back, man, Rock Church is some crazy people there. This person invited me. I ain't coming to that place. But let me know, if God puts it on the heart, and no one of us gets it right. I've messed up preaching sometimes. You may not have noticed it, but oh, my goodness, I did this or did that. You know, we all make mistakes. None of us are perfect. There's nobody's going to ever get it just right. You mess up when you sing, when you play. I mean, come on, we're human. How do you know what God still uses it? How many people leave church? Hopefully you don't leave church like, man, they really messed that song. Ruined my whole service. I just couldn't get nothing from God. I mean, hopefully that's not. If it is, you need to come up for prayer today. So see, this stuff, it just kind of goes on. So the same is true. We need to give people the freedom and say, look, you know, God has called you. How dare we? And you remember the disciples tried that stuff. Lord, we saw some people praying in your name and casting out devils in your name. And we said, stop. Don't be casting out that devil. Let him stay in there. Come on. I mean, that's in essence what they were saying. Jesus said, you know, come on. If they're not against us, they're for us. Leave them alone. Let them cast out the devil. So what if they don't say it right? Let them cast the devil out. So we need to allow the power of God to flow, and we need to start commissioning people. Come on, it didn't come from me anyway. It didn't come from the fivefold. We can't officially decommission anybody. It came from Christ, the Great Commission. But we need to support and uplift. Let's read this and we'll wrap this up. Isaiah chapter 64, verses 4 through 8. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, neither have the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for him that waiteth for him. Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness, those that remember thee in thy ways. Behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned in those is continuance, and we shall be saved. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness as filthy rags. We all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind. Heaven taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon thy name that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou our potter, and we are all the work of thy hand. This is a very powerful portion of scripture. I'm not going to have time to really to give you the full meaning and understanding of what's taking place here. But as we look at the first verse, and I think it's so important for us to realize, the first verse 4 rather that we read, that no eye has seen. This, I mean, again, this is Father's Day. Think about how much God loves you. It says no eye has seen, none. That no person that has ever lived. And no ear has ever heard of the things that God has in store for us. Good things. We're not talking about bad things. The good things. Except God. So, wow. I mean, I've seen some pretty great things. I've heard of some pretty amazing stories. And yet, of all the great things I've ever seen and ever heard, nothing can compare to what God has in store for those that love him. Think about it. You know, there's nothing to me that's great when you're driving on a freshly paved road. You see, you know, you hate it in the process, all the tar gets everywhere. But once that thing is paved, it's, and they got the paint on it, you know, at least to me, I'm like, man, that's beautiful. And you're just riding, and it's just so smooth, and man, this is great. Well, think about what it's like to walk or drive, if we have cars in heaven, you know, on the streets of gold. I mean, streets that are paved with solid, pure gold. No impurities whatsoever. Water that is called the crystal sea, but because it is so clear, it doesn't even look like it's there. You know, think about that. It's like, wow. And that's some of the things that are told. But even that, we can't even know what heaven is like. So that's, I want to encourage you this morning, how much God loves you. But here he goes on to say, the prophet Isaiah in verse 5, that God blesses those that remember his ways. This is key because, we're striving to be a vessel of honor. You need to remember his ways. If you love him, you keep his commandments. You live for him. It's he that endures to the end shall be saved. Doesn't matter how you start out. It's how you finish. See, and so we need to keep our focus upon Christ. And then he goes on to say our righteousness is as filthy rags. Speaking of menstrual rags, that's pretty bad. That's how our righteousness is. Verse 7 says people fail to call upon God even when judgment comes. What a shame. You know, I mean, think about even in our nation. You know, we've not really been judged severely by God. But whether you believe September 11th was from God or just something that God just allowed or some of these hurricanes or floods or different things, you know, certainly God's involved in some of it. I mean, he was aware of everything that happened. But if you believe that even one of those things is a direct judgment of God, you know, why aren't people turning to God? Why aren't they afraid? Why aren't they like, wow, man, we better get right? But you just don't see that. I mean, they play church for a moment. They sing God Bless America. They go through the motions and all this. But how many of them really like, man, we better shape up. We better start living right. We better start changing some things in America. Because God does not bless America because we are Americans. He blesses America and every other nation because they bless God. And so he says he will bless those that remember his ways. And in verse 8, it says he is our father. And he is the potter as well. And we are the clay. We must willingly submit. God's not going to force us. We must willingly submit this morning. So when you think about submission this morning, you know, we all submit. Sometimes we don't do it willingly. You submit to a boss. Boss tells you what to do and you do it. Well, hopefully you do it. If you don't, you may not have a job very long. But you know, we submit. We submit to military leaders. You know, I remember doing some things that I thought was absolutely insane when I was in the military. But I knew better than not to do it. And I remember we had to rake dirt every morning outside of our barracks just to make it look good and arrange the rocks. I'm like, this is the dumbest thing I ever saw in my life. You know, I'm out in the middle of the desert. The wind comes 5 minutes later and messes it all up. But it was just a process. They're teaching you something. They're teaching you how to follow orders. Because a soldier that can't follow orders is a dead man. And worse than him being dead is he's going to get his buddies killed. So they want to know that you can follow orders. And so as Christians, we are the ultimate, should be the ultimate followers. I follow individuals. As Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. You know, if I'm not following Christ, then don't follow me. But if I'm following Christ, if you're following Christ, then others can follow you. And so we need to be good leaders, but more importantly, we need to be good followers. Because if you're not a good follower, you're never going to lead. The Roman soldier understood that. He said, Lord, you don't need to go to my house. I'm a man that's under authority. I'm also over some individuals. I can tell them they do this, go do this, and they do it. But I also recognize authority. When I'm told to do something, I do it. And so, Jesus, I recognize your authority. You don't need to come to my house. Just speak the word of my servant to be healed. And God said, wow, this man has great faith. You know, what a great example of being said that you have great faith because you're a good follower. You know, we need to be servants of the Most High God. I want to be a vessel of honor. I believe that's your heart this morning. And if that's your desire this morning, just willingly submit to the potter's hand. Let him shape you and mold you as he sees fit. And willingly submit to the hand of God. Amen. Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this day that you bless us with, Lord. Dear God, there's a rebellious streak in all of us, God. We don't always like to submit. We see right in the very beginning at the Garden of Eden of how Adam and Eve, at times they submitted to everything you said, but then they also rebelled and they failed to listen and heed your words. As a result, they paid for it. And as a result, we're suffering as well from mistakes that they made. But even had they not made them, Lord, we probably would have all done the same thing, because as your word we just read, our righteousness is as filthy rags. Every person on this face of the earth that has ever lived or ever shall live has sinned and come short of the glory of God. But Lord, we thank you today because you are a Father. And you know you created us, that we're human. Lord, and we make mistakes because we live in a sinful world. And dear God, I thank you for your grace and your mercy. I thank you for your love. Help us, God, to learn how to submit to you first and foremost. But learn how to submit to others, God. Even as your word teaches us as husbands and wives, we're to submit to one another. And Father, I thank you this morning as we recognize and understand the importance of leadership in the government, leadership in within the federal level and the state and the county levels, and the authority the police officers have. And certainly there are politicians that are corrupt and there are police officers that are corrupt. But God, we submit to the office and to the position that they hold. Teachers, Lord, in school and colleges and professors, we submit and do what they ask us to do, as long as it's not something that's immoral or against you, Father. And as we learn to submit, Father God, and serve others and lift them up, your word is clear. As we humble ourselves in your sight, you'll lift us up, God. You desire to bless those, God, that keep and walk in your ways, Father. We want to be a vessel of honor, God. Lord, I don't want anyone to ever look at me and say, oh, you're one of those, and think of it as a bad, meaning a bad thing, because I haven't lived a life that's openly pleasing to you, God. Certainly, we're not out there to appease people and try to make them like us. But we are to live right. We should have a high standard. And Father, I pray you help us today to walk worthy of the calling that you placed upon us. Lord, we long to hear those words when we stand before your presence. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord, my good and my faithful servant. Lord, we need to be servants today, God, that we would serve you with all of our heart. But that, dear God, that we'd realize we are here on this earth to serve the men and the women that are saved and that are unsaved. We are to bless those that curse us and bless those that despitefully use us. Because that is what Jesus did. And that is what it means to be truly a vessel of honor, of demonstrating the unconditional love of Jesus Christ. And Father, it's a hard challenge. But Lord, we can do it with your help. And we pray you'd guide us today and give us that strength in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a need this morning, we ask you to come. Whatever that need is, we're going to join our hearts with you. If maybe this morning you just want to come and just kneel before the Lord and say, Lord, I want to be a vessel of honor. Shape me, mold me, use me to bring glory and honor to your name. Whatever your need is this morning, just come.